from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 90 Time, the game with Northern News Studios on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Atlanta. Saturday, the 24th of August, live at 404-726-0929. Would love to have you be part of the program. Falcons fans, we are now green for go for opening day 2 weeks from tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, your impression now after the decision was made to put the starters in bubble wrap. You saw the starters of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you think that's a big concern here to you at all? It's not to me, but it may be to you. And by the way, I guess, you know, Bo's right about one thing. If the Falcons offense starts slow, everybody's going to say, it's because they didn't play in the preseason. And, you know, it'd be okay. I guess you could say, who's to know? Maybe. I mean, you got a brand new quarterback, you got brand new schemes, those things. But, he's a veteran quarterback. If it were a brand new quarterback, if Penix were the quarterback, this is why, you got to start Penix. Oh, God, okay. Look, I want him to be a star too, but Kirk Cousins is a veteran quarterback. It's the whole processor thing. He processes faster than Penix does because he's been playing professional football for so long at such a high level. And when you're in a game against that team against Pittsburgh, you have to be able to, the number one thing you got to be able to do is process what they're doing so you know where you're going with the ball here. How do you feel about the fact that the starters didn't play in the preseason? Are you concerned about that? Is the number one thing to stay healthy? And are you buying as we get towards the season, and we'll talk more about it here, that inside the building at Flowery Branch, they're saying the word Super Bowl. That's what they're saying here. Are you saying that too? 404-726-0929. If you're a Braves fan, are you kind of with me or are you not? I mean, are you still holding their feet to the, and you may, by the way, if you want to sit here and say, look, they've got Chris Sale, they've got Lopez, they've got Morton, they've got Freed, they've got Iggy, they've got Olson, they've got Murphy, they've got, Arcia, who, you know, at least he had something last night, and you got Harris back, you still have Big George, and you got Ozuna, they got enough pop, and Kelnick, you've got enough pop. I'm holding them to the standard that they damn well better make the playoffs, which I understand, by the way, and you and I can have that conversation. To me, I view them as like the sort of Braves, and so as the sort of Braves, I didn't expect to come into this point in the season. Pardon me for a second. I hope you don't get this new round of COVID. I've had it now for a full week. I've tested positive again. I still have it 7 days later. But I didn't expect to go into this point in the season here, you know, counting on Ursula and Schwellenbach and players of that nature. because Solaire and Duvall. It's just okay. Those weren't the guys I was really counting on, but that's what we got, and that's and Merrifield. That's what we got. So the sorta Braves here are out there doing the best they can. And with a patchwork outfield, a patchwork infield, and we're trying to make this work. So I have no pressure. I have no expectations. So I'm just going to sit and enjoy it. If they don't make the playoffs, I'll just kind of regroup for next year and I'm not going to worry about it. And so if they do, I'm good with it. So I can actually kind of have fun with, So like last night, I thought, when Harris hit the ground ball, I was like, that's too bad. They're going, we win. Ha, 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 ha. And so it was just kind of fun. It was like, okay, I got no pressure here. So that's kind of good. Now, you may not agree with me. That's fine. And if you don't and you hold them to a standard, I'd be willing to hear from you at 404-726-0929. So we have the Falcons to talk about. They complete the preseason here. How confident are you that they're going to be ready for the opening game with a new coach, a new scheme, new quarterback, having not seen those guys in the preseason here? All right? And with the Braves, are you with me on the sort of Braves thing, or do you still hold them to a high standard? And I am looking for a Florida State or Georgia Tech fan to come in and talk a little college football here as we count down. We're less than an hour away from the beginning of the college football season. 404-726-0929. Would love to hear from an Noles fan about what they're thinking about for their season and from a Tech fan as well. By the way, Florida State's a 10.5-point favorite in this game, so there's a lot of expectation. They're a top 10 team. There's a lot of expectation that they're going to be favorites. There are four Division I games today. Montana State at New Mexico. Montana State, now New Mexico, of course, is an FBS team. I've been to Albuquerque many times because I was in that league with San Diego State, so I've seen the Lobos play. I've seen them play probably 7 or 8 games in my life. Like I saw Brian Urlacher play safety for them in a game in San Diego. Montana State is one of the best teams in 1AA FCS. And if you're a New Mexico fan, you're at home in Albuquerque against Montana State. You're an FBS team. They're an FCS team. Montana State is favored by 14 points. Ouch. But it gets even worse if you're a home team, if you're Nevada. Nevada's had a great program. They were a 1AA powerhouse. They've been really good over the years, as you may know. Of course, Colin Kaepernick played there. And they've had some really good teams at Nevada. They're at home in Reno against SMU, where SMU is a 27.5-point favorite on the road, a 4-touchdown favorite going into Nevada. Yikes. And then Hawaii is at home late. If you want to do a midnight game, they're at home tonight. I don't even know if that game's on TV. They're playing Delaware State. Delaware State. Are they the Hornets? I'm going to get myself in trouble. I think they're the Hornets, Delaware State. They're an HBCU. I think anyway, Hawaii is like a 6-touchdown favorite in this game against Delaware State. And I thought, well, okay, it's tough for, you're in Delaware and you're going all the way. How long a flight is that? Noel, what is the flight from Dover or Wilmington to Honolulu? That's got to be like 10 hours. that is a long flight. And, whew. Yeah, so you're way out on the island out there if you're Delaware State. So good luck to Delaware State tonight. Hopefully they have a good trip. Enjoy the trip, Delaware State. I'm not saying Hawaii is any great, but when you're flying 10 hours to go play a game out there in what is, I'm sure, the vast majority, if not all of the Delaware State players, I'd almost be surprised if there was a player on Delaware State's team that had ever been to Hawaii. Maybe one has been. I'm guessing until they landed, none had ever been. And I only say that because until San Diego State played a game in Lahaina basketball tournament, that basketball tournament in Lahaina, the Chaminade one, I had never been to Hawaii. I still never been to Honolulu because we actually didn't play football against the Rainbows. The Rainbows or the Warriors or the Rainbow Warriors, whatever they are these days. We played in the Chaminade tournament, but I had never been to Hawaii and I was in my 40s. So, and I lived in California. I still had never been to Hawaii. 404-726-0929 here. I have no expectations of the Braves, so now the Braves season has suddenly kind of, in a weird way, become fun for me. I do have expectations of the Falcons. I am not panicked over the fact that they did not play their first teamers. I look at the first three games. Look, they're still favored over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I still expect them to win this game, this opening game against the Steelers. But I need to see it. There are a lot of new moving parts here that I think that between the scrimmages and whatnot, because we're bringing moving parts in, and I look, You couldn't play Simmons and Judon in the game last night. They've just gotten here. You couldn't just throw them in and run a risk with them just getting here. So there was no chance they were going to play in the preseason anyway, but they got to kind of find a way to fit here. But if you look at all kind of the moving parts of what Jimmy Lake has on defense and what Zach Robinson has on offense and what this team has, this is on paper, a pretty darn good team. On paper, this is a team that's the best team in the NFC South. On paper, it's a team that's top four, if not top three in the NFC. On paper, they're a team that ought to be able to make at least the divisional round of the playoffs. Because I'll put it to you this way. I think they're better than the Cowboys. I think they're better than the Cowboys. Matter of fact, I think the only three teams in the NFC that are better than them are the 49ers, the Lions, and the Eagles. And we'll find out about that game against the Eagles because week two, they go on the road at night to Philadelphia. And if they win that game, I'll probably be coming out of that game saying, okay, they may be the third best team in the NFC. We'll find out. But I like this team an awful, awful lot. I haven't liked a team this much since the 2016 team. Now, you circle back to the 2016 team, the Super Bowl team, the 28-3 team. That team, after week 12, that team was 7-5. And they had lost a couple of games, one at home to the Chargers, and they lost another game to the Chiefs and the Eric Berry two-point thing when the Chiefs weren't all that great in the game Chiefs were okay, and they should have won that game, and they didn't. Of course, pre-Pat Mahomes. So they should have won that game, and they didn't. And so they were 7-5, and things were kind of like, it's not going the way we expected it to go. Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, but they're not as great. And then they just caught fire from that point on. And they were untouchable until late third quarter of the Super Bowl. They were literally untouchable. They just blew everybody out until the late third quarter of the Super Bowl. They were just on a different plane, and it all stopped. I don't know why. We all know. But from the 7-5 to the late third quarter of the Super Bowl, that's the best stretch of football any Falcons team has ever played, and they were as good as anybody I've seen in a long time. They were untouchable. So that may be the case with this team. So it's about surviving the first 3 weeks here, right? In a way, surviving the first 3 weeks. Now, I don't want to just survive the first 3 weeks. I'd like to actually excel in the first 3 weeks. And excelling in the first 3 weeks to me against Pittsburgh and Philly and Kansas City is finding a way to win two of the three games and coming out of the Kansas City game to be healthy and to kind of be on the same page. Because if they could do that, then the next two games, which are back-to-back Sunday and Thursday with the Swampers and the Bucks, those next two games become really important. And then you break the season down and you go, okay, if they're going to get better as the season goes along, by the time they get to the bye after their 11th game, the worst they can be is 6-5. But hopefully they're 7-4. If they're 7-4 going into that bye, folks, the door is open for everything. If they're 8-3, forget it. The division's over. Because by that point, they will probably have won four of their five division games if they're 8-3. So that division's probably over by the time they get to the bye. But if they're healthy and 7-4 and 3-2 in the division by the time they get to the bye, poof. The back end of their schedule is very, very manageable from a paper standpoint at the moment. It's the front end. If the schedule were reversed and you were playing teams like the Commanders and the Raiders and the Giants in the first 3 weeks, that might benefit you in terms of your ability to kind of get up to speed for this season, because the quality of the opponents you'd be playing, young quarterbacks in a couple of cases, and okay, we can handle this and maybe we can win two or maybe all three of those games instead of having this murderer's row right out of the gate of the Steelers and the Eagles and the Chiefs. But maybe it's also going to toughen you up to go through this murderer's row. Because frankly, I look at those three games, they're better than the Steelers and they're at home. They're not quite as good as the Philadelphia Eagles at the moment, and they're on the road, and they're not obviously quite as good as the Chiefs, but they're at home. So that's like 1-1-1 to some degree. Can you flip that one into a two and make it 2-1? And then I think that they do that, they'll be in really good shape. All right, so where do you fall in all this? Let's talk. We've got about 3 hours to chat, you and I. We got college football to talk about. You can expand it out and talk about your team, how excited you are for Georgia this year, Alabama, whatnot. I've got some college football bowl predictions to throw at you that I'm going to do, too, a little bit later in the show. And Braves fans, do you feel no pressure? You're still under pressure. It's all available to you at 404-726-0929 on a Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Desmond Howard has Miami winning the ACC. Okay, I mean, you can make the argument. Boy, that's an interesting thing. I mean, with Cam Ward down there now, who's to know? I mean, maybe Desmond's right. I disagree with Desmond Howard. I lied about a lot of things. He has Miami winning it. This is a bold prediction. I have my bold predictions too. So, who's to know how this is all going to kind of play out? 404-726-0929. Your chance to weigh in on the Braves, the Falcons, and college football. We're not going to have many opportunities to do this on the weekend where I have these long-form shows where you can be a guest, because a week from today, this show will become the college football game time show, and in a couple of weeks, the Sunday show becomes Wade Ford as we get into the Falcons season. All right, your call is 404-726-0929, and we go to Greg, who joins us. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thank you. We're old friends, you and I. It's Greg Hughes from your Turner days back in CNN Sports.
Well, by the way, so that everybody else, nobody cares but me. Greg played shortstop on the softball. Greg could play. Oh yeah. Well, we had a really good team though, didn't we, Greg?
We had a really good team. Yeah, we fought it out a lot of times, didn't we?
We were pretty good.
So I'm calling you because I'm here in Atlanta. I'm in the Norcross Peachtree Corners area. And as you may or may not know, I work now for NBC Sports. I've been at NBC now for almost 13 years. I just got back from Paris from the Olympics. And all of those topics you're talking about, I'm uniquely qualified to talk about all of those. But the one I was calling to talk to you about was the college football stuff. You're talking about the SEC, Big Ten as the big two, and then the others as the next two, et cetera. We became partners with the Big Ten starting last year. And, you know, the Big Ten's the SEC slogan is, it just matters more. And I say to my friends, my SEC friends, and my two kids who are now longtime college graduates of the University of Georgia, I say, well, in the Big Ten, it's just worth more because Big Ten Big Ten money, and the Big Ten schools make more money than SEC schools. I don't know how many of your listeners are aware of that, but it's the truth in their media contracts. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, and substantially more.
Yeah, it's substantially which is more.
Why, and then, Greg, there's another gap down to the ACC, which is, again, substantially less than the SEC and way less, about a third what the Big Ten gets, which is why if you're Florida State and Clemson, this is why I try and explain it to people. Look, if you're Florida State, this is why Georgia Tech needs to be proactive. And I said this years ago, I said you got to be, if you're on the flats, proactive here because you can't get left standing still, is that if you're Florida State, year over year, if Northwestern is going to make $60 to $70 million a year more than you this year, next year, year after year after year after year after, they're going to make $60 to $70 million more than you. You got to do something, which is file for divorce, get the hell out, and get into the Big Ten.
No, that's exactly right. I'm not sure that the Big Ten or the SEC wants these teams. Because it further dilutes the revenue that they would get. They would almost have to buy their way in order to share down the road. Because, you know, if you are, you know, let's say you're Wisconsin, my alma mater, or you're Ohio State or Michigan, the way this works for them is any schools that get added now dilute what they would get going forward. In these current media contracts, and none of them are inviting that. So
well,
there's a dilemma here.
I don't know that it is, Greg, only because, you know my background. Back in 84, yep. 40 years ago, I was talking to Chuck Ninus when I was hosting college football there, and just a kid, and he was walking me through the College Football Association. I believe with the ongoing negotiations that have been taking place in Nashville, that the Big Ten and the SEC are going to merge. And when they do merge, and that's what they're talking about. They're talking about mergers, about how many teams they invite in. We're going to get Super Conference. And when we get Super Conference, they'll tear up the 12-team playoff, go to a 16-team playoff. They'll tear up all the television contracts. And they'll go to, Greg, 70 teams in 7 10-team divisions, and everybody's going to get the same amount of money. The only reason they can't do it is because Florida State and North Carolina and Virginia and Georgia Tech and Miami and these teams, Clemson, that the SEC and Big Ten coalition will want are being tied up by Jim Phillips and the grant of rights. Once they break the ACC like they broke the Pac-12, once that's broken, I think you're going to see a pretty quick move to Super Conference.
Well, it won't happen, though, before 2030. And the reason it won't happen before then is Notre Dame is locked up until 2030 with us at NBC. And the Big Ten is locked up across CBS, Fox, and NBC, and we are not, unless somebody's going to guarantee us a lot more money, going to get out of those deals for something, unless they show us somehow. And remember, scheduling is a big issue. And those of us, we have scheduling commitments that go out into the future with golf and NASCAR and you name it. You can't just all of a sudden create a bunch of windows on NBC and say, oh, okay, now we've got better, more, bigger college football. We can do that. So if they do decide to go that direction, they're not going to be able to do it until after the 2029 season.
Well, I don't know what the outs are in the contracts, and you would know that better than I do, but, it's like the NFL, you know, you just break the television contracts, and if you have to pay a penalty, you know, base it on future, plus up on the revenue, you do.
Well, remember, though, that the number that we're talking about is over $1 billion a year.
Yeah, I know, but Notre Dame is making, what, $60 million a year? They make, again, $40 million less than Northwestern. So, if you're Notre Dame, there's all the motivation in the world. Would you rather have the NBC deal if you're Notre Dame at $60 million, or would you rather have the Northwestern deal at $100 million?
Well, here's what happened, though, John. We just renewed the Notre Dame deal. And Notre Dame had every opportunity to join the Big Ten. And Pete Bavacqua, who's a good friend of mine, who's the athletic director at Notre Dame, was formerly the head of NBC Sports. He was my boss.
Right.
And they fought hard. They fought hard to keep their independence, and they are very satisfied with the number that they're getting. They don't want.
Well, you know what their independence is going to cost them, though, Greg? They're not going to get a bye.
No.
They're just not.
Well, yeah, but you know what? They're going to get in if they earn their way into the playoffs. They're going to be in the top 12. I mean, it'll be an upset if they don't make the top 12.
You do understand that it does cost them a bye.
Yeah, potentially, but they get a home game.
No, not potentially.
There's
no chance they can get a bye.
Right, but they're willing to do that. They're willing to do that for what they have. They want to retain their independence, and they make up.
Okay, they
make up the money elsewhere.
It makes no sense to me. Why would you retain your independence and give up any chance of having a bye for this independence to take $40 million a year less? That makes patently no sense to me. I don't know why.
They don't actually get $40 million a year less. There are other ways that they make up a chunk of that revenue. And they
I just don't understand what the obstinacy is in South Bend. I've never understood it, but you know they're free to do whatever they want to do, Greg. But it just makes
they like having their own TV network situation where you want to find Notre Dame football. We're special. We're elite. I mean, this is the attitude of Notre Damers. You know, that's how they view the world.
It's the Notre Dame mentality.
And so,
right, I get it.
And
I
they
mean,
don't need
Notre Dame mentality.
The other thing too. The other thing, too, John, is they don't need the money. The endowment and the money that Notre Dame has, they aren't kind of scratching it out there.
Well,
they have
Texas doesn't need the money either. Texas has an endowment larger than Notre Dame. Texas is, man, they're so flush with cash, they don't know what to do with it.
But remember, you're talking about size and scale. And Notre Dame is very happy in the slot that they're in. They're very, very happy. And that's why they renewed their deal with us.
I just don't want to hear that complaint.
And we're happy to have them.
Greg. I understand that, but if they go 12-0 and they're undisputed and unanimous number one, and they better not peep about the fact that they don't get a bye. I don't want to hear that because you made your bed, you sleep in it. Hey, I don't want to hear the playoff isn't fair to us. I don't understand how a 9-3 Utah team or a 10-3 Utah team gets a bye, but we don't. All right, sorry, dude. I'm just saying, I don't want to hear it.
I think they're willing to live with that. I definitely think that they're okay in that situation. And the other thing I wanted to address with you was the Falcons. A lot of my friends here in the Atlanta metro area, I spend most of my time in New York, but I kept my house here in Georgia, and so I'm here all the time, complained loudly about drafting Michael Penix. And teams always find a way, if they're well-run, to do the sort of thing that they have done, which is they go get a Matthew Judon. The kid they drafted gets hurt, the third rounder who they feel very good about as a pass rusher. But they have solved the problem that Falcons fans wanted them to solve. And having a Penix, the Packers, who I'm a longtime fan of, have done this now for decades, where you've got a star quarterback. You've got a quarterback that you're paying a lot of money, and you still draft a competent quarterback. You still put somebody there. And the Packers had Ty Detmer, Mark Brunell, you know, a series of guys who other teams coveted that they ended up trading and getting something for.
Yeah, Kurt Warner, I mean, it went on and on. Right, yeah. No, I get
right.
it. Greg, you don't have to sell me. These people are the same. These people are the same people who complained loudly when the Falcons didn't draft a quarterback when they had an opportunity, especially Justin Fields. And they are the same people that if they hadn't drafted Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins were to, knock on wood, have gone down, and you had to throw Taylor Heineke into the mix to try to save the season, they would have said, why didn't you draft a quarterback? Okay. It'll play out well. Well, it's great talking to you, Greg. It's nice hearing from you again. And,
it's good hearing your voice. I listen whenever I'm in town. So keep up the good work. It's good to hear you're doing well.
You too as well. I mean, and stay in touch. You can follow me. If we're not following Greg Hughes, if we're not following on Twitter and everything, you just make sure you do. A good dude. Known Greg a long, long time. And he is a smart, smart guy. He's saying everything's right. The whole Notre Dame thing about this independence thing, it's like, okay. You know, one of the things is like, you know, I hope we get Super Conference and force Notre Dame in. You know, say to Notre Dame, look, here's the deal. You either join Super Conference and you're in a league, or you are not going to be part of the playoff at all. At all. Bye. On Sports Radio 92 on the game. They are counting down to kickoff in Dublin, Ireland. First college football game of the year, Florida State, Georgia Tech. Really intriguing game. See if DJU, who is on his third school, you know, high school star out of Southern California, goes to Clemson, doesn't... out for DJ Uiagalelei. He goes back to the West Coast, plays a year at Oregon State, and then the Pac-12 just disintegrates under his feet. So he leaves and ends up looking around, and lo and behold, Florida State needs a quarterback, and he's back in the ACC. So we'll see if DJ Uiagalelei finds a home in Tallahassee and can lead the Florida State Seminoles to big things here as they take on Georgia Tech, and we will certainly keep our eyes on that game. And, of course, this time next week, we're going to be talking college football game time. Oh, man, it is just going to jump in. There are games. Oh, I should mention that there. We'll get to Keaton in a second here. There are games just real quick that are – I have the list here. I have so many pieces of paper in front of me. If I worked for Greg Hughes at NBC, he'd be looking at me saying, John, you got to get organized. Because I guess I'm going out here. Oh, it's just funny. Because their game's Thursday and Friday of this week, too. So I guess they're week zero games in that sense. Missouri plays against Murray State, and North Carolina State plays at Western Carolina. Oh, Deion debuts on Thursday night against North Dakota State. Oh, there's news about Deion, too. And Minnesota Cold and North Carolina. That's a good game. North Carolina at Minnesota. That's an interesting game on Thursday night. Keaton joins us. Keaton, welcome to the show. Hey, Keaton. We just lost Keaton. 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the show, again, the three main topics. You don't have to stay on the main topics, but the three main topics are college football, and, you know, your expectations of your team this year. If you want to talk, we still have time between now and kickoff, talk about the expectations of Tech and Florida State fans for today as well. And for the Braves, I call them the sort of Braves, and the sort of Braves to me are sort of fun. And I have lost all expectation, which means I have no pressure. And so I can just enjoy, a 10th inning, should have been an 11th inning game last night where they make a mistake and we win, and just celebrate that. And I have, if they don't make the playoffs, they don't make a playoffs, we'll go ahead and figure it out next year. But once Riley went down and we realized that we were playing with, you know, four or five guys that we're counting on that weren't even on our radar at the beginning of the year, that so, okay, fine, this year is what it is, and whatever they do is gravy for me. And I'm just wondering if you kind of feel the same way, or if you still hold them to a really super high standard, and if they don't make the playoffs, you're going to be really disappointed, and which, by the way, I think is a fine and fair thing, because up until the other day, up until Riley's injury, I was on that team. I was on, injuries are no excuse. There's no way that you can't make the playoffs here. This is not acceptable, and I was working myself into knots. And then Riley goes down, and they go out and get Urshela, and I thought, well, okay, fine. Maybe I just need to rethink this thing. And now I'm on a, okay, look, if Big George and Ozuna, Olsen still drives me batty. Oh, my God, Olsen drives me. I don't know who drives me more batty, Olsen or Murphy. The two of them, it's like, I just want to get in the locker room and grab them and go, what the hell's wrong with you two guys? We brought you in for a reason. Play ball. Play better. But at the same time, I go, okay, that's it, white flag. I became a white flagger. I'm waving the white flag. Hey, listen, I have no expectation of this year anymore. All right, I am a white flagger, you know, and, you know, I was never a relaxer, and you know that. And the relaxers out there at the beginning of the year, I'm going, yeah, I don't know. Now, I couldn't have foreseen, some of the relaxers can say you couldn't have foreseen injuries, which is true. But I was never a relaxer. There was something wrong, you know, once the injuries started happening. I went, okay, this isn't going to go well, is it? And then they kept piling on each other. And once Riley got hit in the hand, I went, okay, that's it. I became a white flagger. And I just, well, but being a white flagger is kind of freeing in a lot of ways. When you're a white flagger and you wave the white flag, then you have, okay, I got no expectations. Everything's gravy from this point on. I'll just sit back and I'll watch and I'll have fun with it. Football's here. I'll focus on football. And if the Braves do anything, great. And if they don't, then okay, too. I mean, we'll worry about it in the. It's not like if the Braves don't do anything here, if they don't make the playoffs, the next year's a wash. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? No, it's just get healthy and we'll come back in next year. By the way, we'll come back in next year, no matter what they do here between now and the end of this season. By the beginning of next year, I'm going to be back on the radio saying, this is the best team in baseball. They outwin the World Series. This is the best team in baseball. They outwin the World Series. And I'll be saying that next year at this time. Well, at the beginning of the season, not at this time. Well, hopefully at this time too, but certainly at the beginning of the year. So I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen the rest of the year. And are you in any way panic mode after what you saw last night when Jacksonville is trotting out, you know, the Josh Allens, the Trayvon Walkers, you know, the Etienne's, the Trevor Lawrence's? They're throwing all their big guns at you, and our big guns are laughing and sitting on the sidelines and drinking pop and signing autographs. Does that create any panic in you that Raheem chose to do this and we had an opportunity to, you know, maybe get a little bit of reps? Just going to throw in the first team out there for a series or so? How do you feel about that? I'm not really overly concerned about it. I think they're doing everything here. Now, again, the proof is going to be in the start of the season, but I think they've done everything to get the team ready here. And whether they played a series or two against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they had already done that against Miami. They had played against their first team against Miami. So I'm not really overly concerned about it. But if you are, I'd be interested in hearing from you about that. 404-726-0929. And I think that's the big issue here with the Atlanta Falcons is, are they ready for the regular season? Maybe that's a better way to put it. Do you get a sense that they are ready for the regular season? I do. But until we see it, we can't know, right? And so even if that's my sense, you might be tweeting at me in the opener against Pittsburgh going, see, what the hell? We can't get this to go. I mean, there's a new scheme. Cousins looks lost. Guys are dropping balls. They're not on the same page, you know, and so that could happen. And there'd be a lot of angst. Boy, I tell you what, the day after that game, there would be a lot of people on the radio and online screaming about, you know, Raheem Morris's decision to play this as close to the vest as he did. But, you know, and I'm not talking about Michael Penix, okay? Michael Penix is a different thing to me. The whole, John, you said it didn't matter if Michael Penix. No, it doesn't matter if Michael Penix plays. We saw Michael, by the way, Michael Penix did play in the preseason, okay? He didn't play a ton, but he played a half. He did play in the preseason. There was no point in Michael Penix going out there, in my opinion, risking injury, playing with the second unit against the third strings that are playing base defense. He gets more out of the scrimmage that they had on Wednesday. I'm not talking about Michael Penix. I'm talking about, because Michael Penix, guys and gals, not a starter, okay? I'm talking about the starters, especially on offense. You couldn't have assumed that Judon, for example, or Simmons, because they just got here, were going to play anyway. But did you miss an opportunity of putting the starting unit out there, Drake and Kyle and the starting offensive line and Bijan and Kirk Cousins, when they were suited up, could you have made an instant decision, hey, listen, they're going to play their number ones. We're trotting them out. They could have done that. I mean, Raheem could have turned around, gathered the first offense together and said, look, they're going to trot out Josh Allen, Trayvon. They're going to put their ones out there. I'm going to send you guys out for a series. Maybe you could make an argument he should have done that. And again, of course, the downside to that is if he does make that decision and suddenly we're sitting around here talking about somebody getting seriously injured in that, and you're going to go, oh, why in the hell did he make that decision right then? He hadn't done it all of a sudden. He just, you know, they weren't prepared to go out there and, you know, oh, my God, it'd just be a disaster. 404-726-0929. Let's go to who's next, Jay or Ken? Ken. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Yeah, I am disappointed that he didn't play his starters. I mean, this is the same thing that happened last year. I know it was a different coach and everything, but you got to have that what do you call it? Rapport or what's the word? Fluidity or something in the preseason. That's what the preseason games are for. In addition to allowing you know, other players to try and make the team. I just would have felt more comfortable had he played his starters some in this preseason. I don't like getting beat 31 to nothing, even if it is a preseason game.
Yeah, I really couldn't care less that the Chiefs were playing a preseason game at home on Thursday night against the Bears, and they were behind the Bears 31-7 in the fourth quarter. Oh, no, panic, Kansas City, panic. No, there's no panic. So I don't think the 31-0 means anything. They had an opportunity. I don't think it's like last year with Arthur Smith. I think it's different in a lot of ways. You have a brand new quarterback. Even though he's a veteran quarterback who's never played in a brand new system with a brand new head coach. So there's a lot to kink out here. I mean, it's not like you have, guys who have been, if this were next year and Cousins was going into year two and everybody had been through a full year of this, you could say, okay, look, these guys have this down. They're just back. It's a riding a bike. But there's a lot of newness in this offense right now in terms of trying to get on the same page. I am hoping, Ken, that through other things like that combined practice with the Dolphins and with the scrimmages, the full pad scrimmages they've had where they're going against each other, that they have enough that when they go out there against Pittsburgh that they're going to be okay. But I can't know till they get out there. So I understand your point.
All right. Okay, enjoy the show.
Thanks, Ken. I do appreciate it. Look, I can't argue against it. The Penix I can argue against. And I have vocally argued against the whole concept of playing Michael Penix because it just made no sense at that point. But now, of course, I probably argue against myself that if you had made the decision yesterday at the beginning of the game to throw the first team offense out there, I would have said, okay, then now after Kirk has taken a couple of series here, throw Penix out for a series. Let him see the first team defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would have been a good thing. Now we can see a different team's first in a game situation and not just a scrimmage. So I think you can make that argument then, but he chose to do what he chose to do last night. The score itself, who cares? Seriously, who cares? Nobody cares. Jay is with us. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how's it going today?
Good, man.
Hey, I really think we should have played the starters last night. I mean, we went through this last year, minus the quarterback piece. Kirk Cousins is a veteran. But getting that first unit out there, Drake and the rest of the guys, they're not 6 and 7 year veterans. I think the more reps they can get, it helps the team in the long run. And we've seen this last year where we set our starters and we went out and we laid an egg in the first couple games. We need those reps, and that dress rehearsal helps in the long run.
Yeah, you know, I would be interested to see if there was somebody would go out there and do a study as to the number of snaps that starters take in the preseason of the NFL and how it correlates to the first, you know, opening game, opening couple of games, you know, things of that nature. And yes, there was, you know, what the one long series that Desmond Ritter, the 18-play series that Desmond Ritter had last year in terms of you know, the start of the preseason and then he was benched for the rest of the year. But let's not forget that everybody talks, Jay, about a slow start. The Falcons won their first two games last year. They went out and won their first two. They were 2-0. So did it really hurt, or was it just that Desmond Ritter wasn't really a very good quarterback? Probably the latter.
Yeah, Ritter probably just wasn't a great quarterback. But we have a really great team this year. I'm super excited. I'm excited about Kirk and everything the front office has done. So I just still feel like those reps and getting those reps against Jacksonville first unit would have been great to see, like a measuring stick for us going in it, even without Kirk.
Yeah, I was not necessarily prepared for Jacksonville to come out with both their first strings for as long as they did. When they came out with Trevor Lawrence and Etienne and everybody and Bertrand, and then suddenly you see, you know, Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen out there, I thought, okay, they're going to get him. And then they stayed out there, and they stayed out there, and they stayed out there, and I went, okay, maybe we missed an opportunity here to get a few reps. So I understand where Ken and where you are coming from, because I went, yeah, I don't know if the Falcons were surprised that they stayed out there that long, too. They may have been aware. Mm-hmm. They thought maybe they're going to come in and play 4 or 5 things. No, they stayed out there and stayed out there. Maybe they got a touchdown. They put him back out there.
Was our old DC really trying to throw a dig at us? Because he's over at Jacksonville, right? I was like, what's going on with their starters being out here blown in the last game of the season?
I don't think they're listening to Ryan Nielsen, you know, and his decision to. No, I don't think that's a case. I don't think that was a dig at us. I think this was a dress rehearsal for Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville's thinking about winning a Super Bowl, so are we.
Yeah.
The other part of this is, look, while you want to be healthy, that's the number one goal. You also don't want to play scared. And I'm not saying they played scared. I think they got thrown. I'm guessing, Jay, they got thrown for a loop that they heard that Jacksonville was going to start their starters but did not expect Jacksonville to play them near a half.
Right. Well, awesome, man. Great talking to you, John. I miss you guys in the morning.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Do appreciate it. 404, Charles, you're next. Quick break. The breaks are short here. We have 2 more hours to talk, you and I. And coming up, top of the hour, Saturday afternoon. Top of the hour, noon. Top of the hour, college football begins. Welcome to it. The hair on my arm is standing up here. Yeah, I'm a little excited about college football starting. Sorry, damn. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.